WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Hurricane Melissa is beginning its exit off of the northern coast of Jamaica. It's still a powerful storm after its record intensity when it made landfall. Dana Dixon is Jamaica's education minister.
It's not just the wind, it's also the rain. The rainfall will be record levels.
American tourists have been sheltering in their hotels.
We are kind of bunkered down in our resort room. We've got mattresses and furniture against the balcony window and the doors there.
Meteorologist Andrew Kozak on where it's headed.
We're talking after Jamaica, eastern Cuba. We have Haiti that will be brushed from the western edge of this or the eastern edge of this thing. And then we're talking about Bahamas. Now, the Bahamas are also something we're going to keep our eye on within the next 24 to 36 hours.
Melissa came ashore in Jamaica as a Category 5 hurricane with sustained winds of 185 miles per hour. CBS News Special Report.
Get updates on what's happening in your community right to your phone through the Civic Media app. Select WCFW in the app and the news comes to you. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has announced it will resume abortion care following a pause earlier this month. The pause was the result of the new federal budget, which prevented family planning organizations from receiving Medicaid funding unless they stopped providing abortion services or gave up their tax-exempt or essential community provider status. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin announced it has given up its essential community provider status, making it eligible to receive those Medicaid funds without ceasing abortion services again. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is reminding farmers to check runoff risk advisory forecasts before spreading manure on their fields. According to a press release, the agency has an online tool to warn farmers when weather conditions and soil temperatures increase the chance of manure spills. The agency is also reminding farmers that all agriculture and livestock operations must report spills or runoff that could potentially impact surface or groundwater, which can be done through a 24-hour emergency spills hotline. A River Falls nonprofit is looking to improve accessibility at various businesses in the area. The new Accessibility Awareness River Falls nonprofit is offering free doorbells to businesses that don't have devices to open doors for disabled residents. The doorbells don't make significant changes to the entryways of those buildings, but simply add a way to alert employees inside that a disabled resident needs assistance. Organization officials say they're also looking for assistance with gaining 501c3 status and a volunteer to help design their social media pages. The Northwest Wisconsin Grazers Network and a handful of partner organizations are inviting residents to their annual Fall Grazing Conference this weekend. The conference will be held at the Shell Lake Community Center on Saturday from 8 a.m. to around 4 p.m. Attendees will have a chance to check out new agency and commercial exhibits and network with other grazers to discuss new ways to improve their own operations. Residents interested in attending the conference must register by Wednesday, which can be done on the organization's website. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Bucks and the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks host the New York Knicks. Milwaukee coming off a disappointing loss in Cleveland, 118-113 to fall to 2-1. Bucks center Miles Turner.
Being new to this group, you know, my key messaging to everybody was like, you got to look forward, you know, to playing from behind. You know, it's the NBA, stuff's gonna happen. At times you can find yourself in unfortunate positions, but I just think it's very important that, you know, if we want to be, you know, a playoff caliber team or a championship caliber team, we gotta, you know, really embrace, you know, being down. And I think we did a good job of that in that third quarter. And there's no excuses in this league. You know, it doesn't matter who's out there, you know, we all lace them up and try to go out there and compete.
Baseball, Game 4 of the World Series tonight in Los Angeles. The Dodgers leading the series 2-1 over the Blue Jays after winning last night 6-5. The game went past midnight. The Dodgers' Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 18th inning to win the game. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, there could be a shower or sprinkle and a low in the upper 30s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, a high in the mid-50s. Mostly cloudy and a high in the low 50s Thursday. Temps cool through the weekend as it stays mostly dry. Right now it's 53.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Todd Alba.
Politics can be complicated from Washington to Madison. No better way to sort it out with three Wisconsin guys. Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson join me next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Tuesday afternoon, one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Been very excited to talk with my next guest. His name is Robert Held. He is an attorney from the Chicagoland area. And while he wasn't a barn-burning, foot-stomping, protesting type, he recently felt motivated to show up near Chicago at the Broadview U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Facility. This is where immigrants have been taken, someone argued disappeared, off the streets of Chicago and brought pending deportation proceedings. Again, this is without fulfilling the requisites of the Fourth Amendment. We'll get into that a little bit with my guest. But while he was at one of these protests recently, he himself ended up detained and held for 8 hours by ICE. With that, I want to welcome you, Rob, to the show. Thank you so much for making time for us. I know you have been in high demand since all of this went down. It is a pleasure to have you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. Thanks, Maggie.
Let's just, before we get into what exactly went down, you know, the accounts that I've read of your story indicate you weren't, again, some, you know, barn burning protest type guy, but that you, over the course of these months and watching the Trump administration, felt compelled to show up in Broadview to protest what was going on. Tell us about how you got to that point and why you decided that you wanted to exercise your First Amendment right and show up and complain about the government's actions.
The truth is, till about a month ago, I'd like to say that I don't get out much, but I was seeing videos, video after video, of federal agents shooting with less lethal weapons, protesters who were simply demonstrating peacefully. And I say that accurately. There were rubber bullets, there were pepper balls, there was tear gas canisters thrown, and I'm watching this video and I couldn't believe it. And I felt motivated, compelled to go out there and protest, number one, against, you know, what ICE is doing, but also to observe for myself, you know, this is America. I mean, are they really shooting, you know, these less lethal weapons at peaceful, innocent protesters who are not obstructing or impeding? And the answer was, yes, they absolutely are, because they took pepper ball shots at me.
It's extraordinary. And I think one of the things as lawyers we are called to do in moments like this is indeed to bear witness, right? To show up. We understand the law. We've all took oaths as officers of the court. We all take an oath to defend the Constitution and to fulfill that in our duties as a lawyer. And so I think folks bearing witness, not just attorneys, but especially attorneys as officers of the court, to bear witness in these moments, to lend credence and to help elevate the voices of others who are experiencing this is so critical. And I applaud you for getting involved in this way. Tell me, how many protests have you been at? Have they all been at the Broadview facility? And then we'll get into the events that happened at the very tail end of September.
Sure. Well, I have an app that alerts me where ICE is. And I've actually acted on that, you know, those alerts about ICE in downtown Chicago and in my home in the suburbs of Chicago as well, but never successfully found ICE based on those alerts that I get from the two apps that I have. But I have gone to Broadview quite a lot in the last 5-6 weeks now. And so that's where I've encountered ICE and the authorities that are policing the protest areas now in Broadview, Illinois.
Are there local police there, or is it, describe the scene. Can you tell which agency these various law enforcement officers are with, whether they're local Broadview PD, whether it's ICE versus CBP, FBI? Tell us, paint the picture for our listeners.
Well, it's changed. So when I first was going there about the second, third week in September, you could literally walk up to the ICE facility. It's a processing facility that's, as I said, in Broadview, Illinois, and you could literally walk up to its boarded windows and the locked door and the cameras and so forth. And agents, you know, would come outside. But you're right, alluding to who they are. Some of them have not uniforms, but, you know, the FBI logo on their outerwear. Others say Customs or Border Patrol, but most we don't know who they are or what agency they work for. They could be ATF, FBI, ICE, Border Patrol. We simply don't know because they're not identifiable. Now, that's changed a little bit because of a federal court case, primarily one particular case in Chicago,
yes,
where they're supposed to wear conspicuous identification. But the shorter version is that there's two ways to ingress and egress, to get in and out of this ICE facility. And we could protest at either one. In the last few weeks, one of those has been completely closed off. And there's one protest area, and the designated protest area is, I would say, a couple of hundred feet from the ICE facility. So unless you have a megaphone, they're probably, you know, the federal agents are probably not going to hear you. Although I will give you one little anecdote. I talked to two protesters who were in that designated protest zone. This is going back a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and they got fired on with pepper balls and hit with pepper balls. Even though it is a couple of hundred feet back, the pepper balls have a pretty decent range, apparently.
The idea that the acceptable protest zone is so far removed from the facility that you cannot be heard unless you have a blowhorn or a bullhorn basically negates, in effect, the purposes of the First Amendment, I would say. Sir, as a lawyer, do you agree? I mean, what is the point if nobody can hear you?
Well, that's exactly right. I hope that changes. You know, I keep telling people that talk to me about, you know, you asked about what forces are there. Right now, we've got the Broadview police that are enforcing the protest zone area limitations. We've had the Cook County Sheriff, Cook County, Illinois, and the Illinois State Police. Federal agents can be seen on buildings. Well, we assume they're federal agents. We don't know. There are people standing. Let me just describe what I see. I see people on buildings, typically with masks, sometimes with equipment that is not identifiable. And I've shouted up to them and received no response. So there's people on buildings, but the ones that appear to be enforcing are primarily lately Broadview police, backed up by either county sheriffs or the state police.
Have you witnessed any county sheriffs or local police firing pepper balls, tear gas, or rubber bullets at protesters?
Absolutely not. I think they have exercised great restraint. It's really a kudos to our state police and the Broadview police as well. because they've exercised great restraint. And just in the last few days, they've even more toned down any potential confrontation at the end of the designated protest time, which ends per the mayor's executive order in Broadview, ends at 6 p.m. And the Broadview police has even been more accommodating in terms of protesters that want to stay past that 6 p.m. deadline.
That's, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but that's the point, if you will. And by that, I simply mean, Robert, we want law enforcement officials, whether they're local, county, state, or federal, to show sufficient respect for citizens and residents' right to exercise our free speech rights, and to ensure, frankly, that federal agents can go about their duties. Like, these are both things that we should see in a democracy that is governed by the rule of law, not a presupposition that anybody who's protesting needs to effectively put down and subdued and shut up. And it seems such a volume of the footage from these interactions seems to indicate that there are quite a lot of federal law enforcement officers that are much more interested in the flex, as I believe the kids would say, than in striking this correct balance between ensuring that federal officials can go about their duties, as well as showing respect and deference to those who peaceably wish to exercise their constitutionally protected rights. Is that a fair summary?
Absolutely. It's bizarre that there's two things going on at the same time. One is, I think that most everybody, if not everybody, wants violent criminal Tren de Aragua or other gang members who are non-citizens who've committed violent crime to be arrested, prosecuted, or deported.
Yes.
We all want that. But that's not what ICE has been doing. That's not what we see on this in Broadview and on the videos that I see from the streets of Chicago. And that is that, you know, you alluded to it. I was arrested. I hadn't committed a crime. There are people that are innocently either recording the Broadview or other protesters and being sometimes subdued and arrested by federal agents. And it's wrong. And we want the federal agents, again, to do their job and do what the administration said, which is to get the worst of the worst. But to repeat for emphasis, that is not what's happening in Chicago.
That is not what's happening in Chicago. Folks, I am joined for this half hour by attorney Robert Held. He is from the Chicagoland, an attorney, as I noted, and he felt compelled to go to Broadview outside of the ICE facility there and protest. When we take a breath and come back, we just have about 2 minutes. I want to set the stage, Robert, and then we'll get into the details of what happened. About how many protesters were there? Mr. Held was detained by federal law enforcement and held for 8 hours. How many people were there? Was it a super tense environment? Set the stage for us a little bit, and then when we come back, we'll go through what exactly transpired that led to your detention. But set the stage for our listeners.
There could have been at most 100 protesters that Saturday afternoon. I had been sprayed with an unknown chemical directly into my face, so I was debilitated for about an hour. And then thereafter, I was at a fence that used to separate the ICE facility from the protesters, since been removed. Greg Bovino, the commander of Border Patrol, opened that gate with 40 federal agents next to him, and I have video of it, and said, clear the area or you're going to be arrested. Words to that effect. I was videoing him backing up and, you know, at some point decided to clear the street and was chased down and arrested. But the volatility occurred only because Greg Bovino and the federal agents decided to open that gate and literally march into the protesters rather than use the other exit that I had talked about earlier. So they created a volatile scenario, I believe, for their own film and for their own website.
The propaganda value of what ICE and Greg Bovino, a Customs and Border Patrol leader, is what they're doing. We're going to talk about those events and what transpired after Attorney Held's detention that Saturday afternoon in late September. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. We continue this important conversation on the other side right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.
93.5 The Tap.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us and giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Right up there on the list of stupid. The president of the United States decided to lay off 1,000 people or so at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Kristen Lierley.
They weren't laid off strategically. They were laid off haphazardly. J.D. Vance himself admitted that it's chaotic.
Nothing screams competent government like laying off the people who respond to Ebola.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Also, I wanted to share real quickly just a text that came in from Andrew in Maine. One of the many favorable features of Civic Media is the various hosts' willingness to engage listeners via text, calls, comments, allowing a feeling of conversation instead of being talked at. Thank you, Jane, Greg, Boardlord, and Dan, along with the rest of Civic Media staff and admin. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Civic Media. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined for the balance of this half hour by attorney Robert Held, a Chicagoland attorney who was detained as he was protesting at the Broadview ICE facility for 8 hours. Attorney Held, we left off before the break. You were describing the fact that Customs and Border Patrol leader, Commander Greg Bovino, made a decision this, I believe it was the last Saturday in September, to have about 40 agents, you described, sort of rush protesters. They could have left the ICE facility by another exit. They did not have to rush protesters. Was there anything, for example, vehicles that were trying to leave or enter the facility that were being prevented from doing so that precipitated this effective rushing of protesters led by CBP head Bovino?
Greg Bovino was leading these 40 federal agents, and there was a car behind and adjacent to some of the agents. So there was a car that was exiting that street where the facility is. But as you pointed out, they could have used the other exit. They didn't have to create what I think was political theater, quite frankly, because they have film crews that accompanied Greg Bovino and some of the ICE agents. And, you know, that they had created this political theater also just an hour prior, where Greg Bovino would put his hand on the shoulder of an immigrant being detained and literally just like walk him up to the facility, even though they normally come in by car, and it was being filmed. And he would do it like repeatedly. Okay, let's get another one. Let's do another one. So they're creating this stuff for their website, their social media sites, whether it's for recruitment or otherwise indoctrination, propaganda, whatever you want to call it. But they did not have to come out that gate that day when I was detained.
And effectively, they came out and immediately started physically engaging with some of the protesters. You described that you had been hit by a pepper, not directly, but had breathed in some sort of chemical earlier. You were somewhat incapacitated. You were filming and backing up as that directive to back up was being given, and you were effectively tackled. Tell us exactly what happened.
Sure. Well, to be clear, I was sprayed directly in the face with a chemical agent because I was looking through the fence that separates the protesters from the facility. And I did have a gas mask on, but I was up against the fence and my peripheral vision was poor. And anyway, an agent sprayed something so hard into my face that it either moved my gas mask or went under it. And I was debilitated for one full hour. But then when they opened the gate, so they were walking, they opened the gate, you know, clear the streets, you're going to be impeding us and be arrested. I'm backing up and filming. They're walking forward. I've later seen videos of some other things that I hadn't seen at the time. But from my viewpoint, I'm just backing up. They're shouting directions. I'm backing up faster than they're walking. I'm not impeding or obstructing. But I decided, okay, I need to clear the street because I think, far as I could tell, I might be the only one left on the street, and they're still shouting. And they're calling me, sir and buddy, get off the road. So I do. I got off the road and I ran off the road, but was chased. I was chased. And that was caught by an independent journalist. There's a video of that on the internet. But to finish the story, I eventually got to a fence that I could not clear. I'm 68 with a bad hip. And I gave myself up at that point. They ordered me to get on the ground and put my hands behind my back, and I was arrested.
So to be clear, you were exiting the area that they instructed you to exit, and then they chased you down.
But not quickly enough as they wanted. They had given perhaps 10 commands, clear the street, you need to clear the street. But I was not impeding them because they were coming at walking pace, and I was backing up much faster. And my video confirms that I wasn't impeding anyone, but they did chase me down.
And you were then handcuffed, zip tied, what, and taken into that specific ICE facility?
I was handcuffed. I was put in a car. The car was driven a little bit, and then they opened the door. And then Gregory Bovino himself appeared at the door, looked me right in the face, and said, "Now, what do you want to say to me?" I did not respond. They took me into the facility. I was held for 8 hours.
Were you ever informed of any charge?
Not at all. I was never charged with a crime. I never committed a crime, and I was never informed about what I did wrong or why I'd been detained.
Are you suing the federal government?
I'm not. There's what happened to me. Let's make this clear. This is not even a footnote compared to what's happening to the immigrants and to our communities. They're being devastated and abused by the Trump administration and these agencies. I don't need to get any recompense for what happened to me for those 8 hours. But we do need to change what's going on with respect to the immigrant communities and Chicago more generally, because we're living in fear. There are people that have been terrorized, that won't socialize, that won't go out to shop, and won't go out to their work. It's really horrible when you talk to people on the streets that are being personally affected by this brutality.
To close out, you attended one of the hearings in the lawsuit brought by the state of Illinois challenging the National Guard deployments, challenging some of these what I would call posse comitatus violations by ICE officials. What did federal district court judge Innes rule today? It's quite extraordinary what she is requiring CPB head Bovino to do on a daily basis, specifically around this issue of the use of force, which you ended up at the short end of the stick receiving. Tell us what happened today.
She had previously entered a temporary restraining order that prohibits ICE from issuing, using violence without warnings. And she ordered them to put conspicuous identification on themselves. And so the bottom line is, she said, "You're violating the order and you need to come in every day at 6 o'clock to report to me on what you've been doing."
ICE and CPB will be required in a federal court in Illinois, the Northern District, to provide daily reports on their use of force, and Mr. Bovino will have to personally appear and answer the judge's questions at 6 p.m. Folks, this only happens when some pretty troubling things are afoot. My big thanks to Rob Held for being with us. Folks, when we come back, I continue our discussion of the utter lawlessness and the mayhem being wreaked not just on American citizens, but
to citizens of other countries as well. We continue this important discussion on the other side.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 93.5 The Tap.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Democratic state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to increase the number of apartment buildings with fire sprinkler systems. The package of bills would create a $10 million grant program for landlords to install the fire sprinkler systems and allow local municipalities to pass ordinances requiring apartment buildings be equipped with the sprinklers. Another bill in the package would require the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services to conduct an audit to identify how many buildings do not have sprinkler systems. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is warning residents that their services may stall if the federal government shutdown continues. According to agency officials, about $230 million of the $310 million allocated to the Department of Workforce Development for training and employment services this year comes from the federal government. Without that federal funding, things like career counseling, recruitment and retention programs, and apprenticeships for job seekers could see a reduction in services. Lutheran Social Services has officially started renovations at the former L.E. Phillips Treatment Center for Substance Abuse in Chippewa Falls. The treatment center closed last year, leaving a significant gap in access to substance abuse care in the area. Earlier this year, Lutheran Social Services purchased the property and began planning the renovation project. Organization officials say when construction on the renovation is completed, the treatment center will be able to offer 50 beds at a time for area residents struggling with substance abuse issues. The Boys and Girls Clubs of the Greater Chippewa Valley are calling for support from the community amid a significant decrease in government funding. According to a press release, organization officials say they're facing critical gaps in the resources they typically provide for area families, limiting their ability to give kids a safe place to go after school. They're calling on community members, businesses, and other Chippewa Valley organizations to help out with donations, sponsoring their programs, or just spreading the word about their funding needs. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is new news on the latest Bob Odenkirk action film. The multi-talented Emmy winner and Better Call Saul star had back-to-back action roles with Nobody and Nobody 2. Headed to the big screen next spring from Magnolia Pictures is Odenkirk's latest action film, Normal, which will drop April 17th of 2026 on over 2,000 screens, which is Magnolia Pictures' largest release ever, according to Deadline.com. I'm 61, and I hope to remain uninterested in AI until I croak. Those are the paraphrased words of director Guillermo del Toro. The director recently appeared on NPR and discussed his new film, Frankenstein. The Oscar winner compared the fascination around AI with the arrogance of Dr. Frankenstein, adding that his issues are not with the actual technology, but by the general stupidity of those who control it. I kind of agree with him, but I still have no idea what was up with The Shape of Water. Frankenstein drops on Netflix November 7th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight. There could be a shower or sprinkle and a low in the upper 30s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, a high in the mid 50s. Mostly cloudy and a high in the low 50s Thursday. Temps cool through the weekend as it stays mostly dry. Right now it's 53.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, State Assembly Representative Angelina Cruz visits our homeroom segment
and we'll talk to Earl Ingram of the What's Going On podcast.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, folks, the rest of this show is for me and you together. I want to get into a discussion about really the lawlessness of the Trump administration, these intentional efforts to create mayhem, which our last guest, Attorney Robert Held out of Chicago, was describing, that he saw as a protester very intentional decisions being made specifically by Customs and Border Patrol, by the head of that agency, a guy by the name of Greg Bovino, to basically trump up, pardon the pun, opportunities to end up in physical confrontations with protesters instead of trying to find ways to de-escalate, avoid those confrontations, let people do their protesting. But of course, federal agents, they have a right to go about and get done their business. And I also just want to point out the fact that I really appreciate the fact that Attorney Held made the point that no one that I know is saying that people that are here illegally that commit crimes, that are credibly accused and have probable cause determinations made or convicted, should not be deported. Of course they should. But the how matters, and the fact of the matter is that Customs and Border Patrol aren't doing targeted raids. They're just rounding people up. And in doing so, the manner of their interaction with protesters is clearly violating people's constitutional rights on a near daily basis. There is another version of lawlessness that the Trump administration is engaging in, and combined with what we see happening in these interactions with protesters, the illegal deployments of the National Guard, which continue to be litigated in our federal courts, is Donald Trump's legally unsound use of the military to kill people, citizens of other countries, by using missiles to blow up these boats that may be carrying alleged drug traffickers. They have never produced evidence. There has been no due process. These people are summarily executed at the hands of the United States government. And to me, the through line here is, if you think about what has transpired since the beginning of the Trump administration, the second one, what you see is the line of reasonable or not reasonable constantly getting kicked further out, and a normalization of this kind of violence by the government. Violence against folks that are quote unquote illegal. Well, that's okay because they're criminals. Well, that's okay even if they're not criminals because they're illegal. Oh, that's okay against American citizens because they just got caught up in these raids of these picking up of these illegals because, you know, they had the wrong kind of friends. Oh, it's okay against American citizens who are protesting because they're impeding law enforcement. Oh, it's okay to summarily execute citizens of other countries in international waters in which we have no jurisdiction because they're allegedly, without any evidence or due process, drug traffickers. You see the line getting pushed? Normalizing the extreme use of extraordinary violence and now killing of people without any process at all. Extreme violence, now including the killing of citizens of other countries by government agents and officials without the presentation of evidence, without any due process. And as we played yesterday, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was asked recently by a reporter, there are reports of a plan to deploy strike forces in 50 states. Is this true? And Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said basically, yeah, it is. We won't don't discuss specific plans, but yes, of course, we have plans for every situation. That's an admission. What is a military-styled strike force across all 50 states supposed to do exactly? If you can spray rubber bullets and pepper bombs and tear gas at protesters because you decide you need them to move and they're not moving fast enough, if Stephen Miller tells federal agents that you have absolute immunity for anything that you do, any violation of rights, which, by the way, is not true, where is the line? I don't see it anymore. And make no mistake, this is not a concern that I hold or that just Democrats hold. There are Republicans that are slowly and meaningfully, and independents that are slowly and meaningfully starting to sound the alarm. And one such individual is Senator Rand Paul. We're going to first listen to a number of cuts that we've put together of Rand Paul explaining why what the Trump administration is doing by using the military to fire missiles at these boats in the Caribbean is illegal and may even amount to a war crime. Let's take a listen to Rand Paul explaining this over and over and over again. This includes sound from Piers Morgan Uncensored in about a week ago. We've got sound just from this week from Rand Paul that we'll get to, but let's listen to the, this is a montage of Rand Paul in numerous interviews explaining why what Donald Trump is doing is basically illegal killing of citizens of other countries without evidence or due process. Take a listen to this.
Drug usage is way down, and drug usage coming from the sea, they call it ocean drugs, a little term that they use, the ocean drugs, is very close to non-existent right now.
Number one, there is no fentanyl made in Venezuela. Not just a little bit, there's none being made in Venezuela. These are outboard boats that in order for them to get to Miami would have to stop and refuel 20 times. They're in all likely going to Trinidad and Tobago, which is an island right off of the coast of Venezuela. So there's a lot of reasons to be worried about this. But number one is the broader principle of when can you kill people indiscriminately? When you're at war. That's why when we declare war, it's supposed to be done by Congress. It's supposed to be thoughtful. It's supposed to be debated. And we're not supposed to do it willy-nilly. And then when you have war, you just kill people in the war zone. And even then, there are rules of engagement. But interdicting drugs has always been a criminal activity and a criminal anti-crime sort of activity where we don't just summarily execute people. We actually present evidence and convict them.
One of the interesting things is one of the recent explosions, a bunch of the people on the boats died, but two people survived. Did we detain them and check them for drugs or drug residue? Did we gather the evidence from the wreckage and then prosecute them? No, we just said, oh, well, we're going to send you back to your country. So I really think that you cannot have a policy where you just allege that someone is guilty of something and then kill them. The reason being that we interdict ships all the time off the coast of Miami, off the coast of California, and the Coast Guard statistics say that about 25% of the boats that we stop to search don't have any drugs. So if one out of four of the boats don't have drugs on them, you know, what kind of person would justify blowing up people when one out of four boats may well not have drugs on them?
And this is Rand Paul earlier this week on Fox News, again addressing this problem. This is Cut 12.
You know, it's not so much about a briefing, but we haven't had a briefing. To be clear, we've got no information. I've been invited to no briefing. But a briefing's not enough to overcome the Constitution. The Constitution says that when you go to war, Congress has to vote on it. And during a war, then, there's a lower rules for engagement. People do sometimes get killed without due process. But the drug war or the war or the crime war has typically been something we do through law enforcement. And so far, they have alleged that these people are drug dealers. No one said their name. No one said what evidence. No one said whether they're armed. And we've had no evidence presented. So at this point, I would call them extrajudicial killings. And this is akin to what China does, to Iran does with drug dealers. They summarily execute people without presenting evidence to the public. So it's wrong.
It's wrong. And if Congress, if Rand Paul is the only one standing up saying, this is a problem, we collectively as Americans, our democracy is in great peril. In great peril. We also have sound from C-SPAN on October 26th. Again, just 2 days ago, of former Representative Bob Lankford talking about this exact point. Take a listen to this.
The administration needs to give insight into Congress. That's part of it. If this was happening with this level of insight under the Biden administration, I'd be apoplectic.
Yeah, let's think about the precedent this sets, right?
I would say, hey, listen, I serve on the Intelligence Committee. He serves as a senior Democrat on defense. This is typical consultation. It's not permission, but it is, hey, I want to let you know this is happening, and here are the details of what's happening, and here's why and what, and here's what we know. Here's what we know about each one of these. Incidents that has occurred in the people that are there. That's important. We're all elected officials. We're in a co-equal branch of government, and we've got to be able to have that kind of coordination.
Bob Lankford is currently a U.S. senator. And so if you put together what you just heard, you've heard a Republican senator, Rand Paul, point out that they have seen no evidence that outside of a declared war, which we do not have, that these are, quote, extrajudicial killings. Extrajudicial, of course, is a fancy word for illegal, that you cannot summarily execute people. And what you heard now Republican Senator Bob Lankford saying was not only do you not have the legal showing that these are enemy combatants, not only do you not have a congressional declaration of war, you don't even have the provision of the most basic evidence or information about how these determinations are being made, the standard of proof that's being required, or any of the intelligence that is allegedly the catalyst for these killings. These are Republicans. Bob Lankford voted for the big brutal bill. This isn't some, you know, centrist Republican. They're not even telling Congress what is going on. And it is Congress's job to execute oversight. Telling Congress doesn't mean sharing operational details or sensitive intelligence. They have SCIFs, Secured Compartmentalized Information Facilities, SCIFs, to provide this information. We now have two Republican senators saying, this is deeply problematic. Let me just say this. I sure wish that Rand Paul and Bob Lankford cared as much about American citizens and due process in this country as they do for alleged drug runners on speedboats in the Caribbean. When we come back, I discuss what comes next and where a surprising source of hope may be found in these dark times. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right?
Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business, while Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But WalletHub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s, and CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Cam Stevenson.
I don't think we've seen destruction at the White House like that since 1812.
The only people working hard in Washington, D.C. right now are the demolition workers tearing down the east facade of the White House. Let's bring in a whole demolition crew, Cam. That was, right. I mean, the metaphor of the year.
It's very symbolic to see the symbol of power in the United States demolished.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is our last segment of the day, and thus it is your last opportunity to get your thoughts in this Tuesday afternoon. 855-752-4842. And folks, it is shutdown day 28, and as I have been doing, let's just all remind ourselves of who is to blame for this shutdown. Cal, let's roll the old montage. Cut 28, please.
Who's going to bear the brunt of the responsibility if indeed there is a shutdown of our government?
Well, if you say who gets fired, it always has to be the top. I mean, problems start from the top, and they have to get solved from the top, and the president's the leader. And he's got to get everybody in a room, and he's got to lead. You know, the interesting thing
it's
is...
It's interesting when you listen to that, right? Because Donald Trump isn't here. So how do you get in a room? How do you... You know, the president's got to lead. Get everybody in a room. He's not here. The House isn't in session. How do you get everybody in a room? Doesn't make any sense. And as the media do from time to time, we've found yet an additional clip of Donald Trump making it very clear who is always responsible when there is a government shutdown. Let's take a listen to this. This is back from April 7th, 2011 on the NBC Today Show with Meredith Vieira. Take a listen to this.
If there is a shutdown, I think it would be a tremendously negative mark on the President of the United States. He's the one that has to get people together.
you know, in that room together, but not because he's in South Korea, not because the House isn't in session for some 80 plus days out of the last 90. Nothing like a good old paid vacation. By the way, do you know that members of Congress have effectively concierge on demand healthcare? On demand. No waiting, no lines, blood tests whenever they need them, x-rays, what have you, MRIs. Yeah. But regular people, yeah, you don't need health insurance, let alone on-demand platinum healthcare provided by the U.S. military. It's a little frustrating, I would say. But I wanted to leave you all with a bit of hope. And I stumbled across this sound. And admittedly, I'm going to play it for you in part because, boy, this Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal Blaise Kupich, he sure summarizes his thoughts in a way that might sound eerily familiar to you. This is part of my point of hope these days, is there are faith leaders across all denominations speaking out and reminding us what especially the New Testament says about the stranger, about the immigrant. But let's take a listen. This is, again, the Archbishop of the Chicago Diocese, Cardinal Blaise Kupich. Listen to what he has to say about this moment that we're all in.
My dear brothers and sisters, today I speak to you as your shepherd, but also as a fellow pilgrim who shares the pain of many of our immigrant communities. Families are being torn apart. Children are left in fear. And communities are shaken by immigration raids and detentions. These actions wound the soul of our city. Let me be clear. The church stands with migrants. We stand with a mother who crosses borders to feed her children. We stand with a father who labors in silence to build a better future. We stand with the young person who dreams of safety and a better future. Our parishes and schools will not turn away those who seek comfort, and we will not be silent when dignity is denied.
We will not be silenced when dignity is denied. What an important message. And did you hear that repeated call from the Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal Kupich, to stand with migrants, to stand with the mother trying to feed her children, with the father trying to give something better to his kids, with the young person seeking a better future for themselves. And perhaps no single faith leader is as famous, at least in North America, than perhaps post-Pope Leo. And Pope Leo has gotten more and more and more specific and pointed in his critique of those that claim the mantle of Christianity and yet disclaim their obligations to serve one another and to serve, yes, the migrant. In late September, Pope Leo publicly questioned whether Trump's crackdown on immigrants can ever square with the Catholic Church's pro-life teachings, pointedly asking, and I've played some of the sound before, whether anyone can truly claim to be pro-life while supporting, quote, the inhuman treatment of immigrants. It was on September 30th. A week later, earlier this month, he met with U.S. border bishops, and he read dozens of letters from terrified immigrants. He was brought to tears, and he assured that group that the, quote, the church cannot stay silent before injustice. You stand with me, and I stand with you. He then urged the entire U.S. Conference of Bishops to speak out against how migrants are being treated by this administration. If you want to claim to be pro-life, you need some consistency. And you've got to stand with every life, not just the ones that resemble you. Folks, that's going to do it for me. Remember, as I say every day, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228DP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. Hurricane Melissa was one for the record books when it slammed ashore in southwestern Jamaica today. Sustained winds were at 185 miles per hour. The National Hurricane Center's Michael Brennan says it's exiting now.
The eye of Melissa has moved across Jamaica and is emerging off the north coast now about 15 miles east of Montego Bay, moving off to the north-northeast at 8 miles per hour. So for people in Jamaica, still very dangerous conditions across the island, a hurricane warning in effect, the potential for destructive winds and damaging winds likely to continue across Jamaica this evening, especially on the north coast, especially in the areas of high topography.
A storm is now impacting Cuba, where very heavy rainfall is expected. The Gaza ceasefire was tested again today when Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu ordered the army to carry out strikes in Gaza. Israel claimed Hamas fired on its forces in southern Gaza.